You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Jamie Martinez. Jamie, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Jamie, let's talk about what you're working on now. What's in your creative sphere? What's happening?
Okay, at this moment, I'm actually working on a series based on Mayans, their poetry, their glyphs. So what I've been doing is doing a lot of research on them. And through that, I've been able to play with their glyphs and their meanings. So I'm doing a series called I Am One with the Jaguar. And some of the pieces in that series, for instance, are poems I make. I write a poem. And what I do is write the poem in English. Sometimes I do it in Spanish first. And then I'll go ahead and decipher the poem using Mayan glyphs, which go on a painting. Then after that, I embroider the painting and added different things. But the series is really not just paintings. I'm doing a lot of clay pieces, same idea, having glyphs tell a story or a poem or even a spell. The idea behind this is in this series, which is a follow-up to another series I recently did, it's also about crossing over into the underworld, not only dealing with Mayans, but really transitioning from this world to another world. So I'm really into reading a lot of their history and stories. They have beautiful stories and beautiful glyphs and beautiful art.
So let's talk about one of those stories, perhaps, since you've been reading all of that, and that's not something that we normally hear about. And we'll also talk more about just what's happening in your studio. But what are some of the stories that you've researched that come to mind, if you want to share one? Because that sounds fascinating, especially, you know, these ideas of the other life and or transitions.
Yeah, well, one story is all based on the Calonte Balam, which is all, there was also a, this is their story. And most of them I do poems and I translate it, but this is the story in them when one brother fought the other brother for power of the jaguar. And that is based on, I put that on a paper clay kind of tablet and then embroider it. So the story there is that one the older brother fought the younger brother, Lord Selak, to win the crown, to rule part of the Mayan Empire. Then he ended up ruling with this lady called Lady of Tikal, which is just amazing. Just, her story is another story. So, for I believe maybe 20 to 30 years or something around there, they co-ruled. And Tikal is one of the big cities in the Mayan cities. More stories are, there's beautiful things. Obviously, the jaguar is very important to them. And I've been really getting into stories where transforming into animals is really important. And that's another aspect of also going into the underworld, transforming. Then you get into their gods. They have so many gods. Really, the research is unbelievable that's available out there. One story with the gods is God A, which is one of the gods, the bats, the skeleton, that is the guy who rules the underworld. So in some pieces that I'm working with, I'm also not only putting spells on these tablets, but asking permission for these kind of, especially him, he would be one of the first you'd have to ask to start to cross over as you go into the cave, or there are many ways that, you know, many ideas of how you cross over, but mainly through the cave. And just, like I said, there's more and more stories.
Fascinating. So why these stories? I mean, those are very interesting, and that's great research. And I know you've been involved with this before. Why those stories and that research to create a foundation for the art that you're making?
Well, I'm a Native American from the Pijao tribe of Tolima, Colombia. We never had any writing. The tribe is still there, but the writing is lost to them. So I got into the Mayans because of the writing and the glyphs, really. The more I got into the glyphs, the more it just sucked me in. And this story, this new series came after my last series, which I did. I had a nice show at Parsons School, It was for like 3 months. It was a virtual reality installation. Me and another artist called Aaron Coe and another four virtual reality artists created installations. That one was based on crossing over through the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the story about Ani. I don't know if you're familiar with the story about Ani.
I don't know that story.
It's even a better one, almost. So Ani was a merchant in the back in the Egyptian civilization. Towards the end of it, he had money. And towards the end of it, he could actually purchase. He was a little more corrupted. You could actually purchase the glyphs, the hieroglyphic spell given by the high priest to the pharaoh. Obviously, that was only available to the pharaohs. Nobody ever had access to that spell. The spell was custom made, and the high priest would make that, obviously, to help him cross into their underworld. And then Ani, towards the end of it, had enough money. He got a high priest, and he bought it. So they did it around a 700, I believe, foot papyrus that's in the Museum of England. The real thing. And that one, if it wasn't for that, would also be lost in the Egyptians in many, many ways, because that really opened up into their most important belief, which was crossing over. And you can see this, and then you can see during that spell, you see little kind of parentheses, and that's where they put the name Ani. And then it's a special chant or spell, mostly, that it's made for Ani that will help him cross over. So what happens is once he dies, you know, they mummify him, take this, put salt, drain his water. And then he goes into the underworld. Without that spell, he gets slaughtered by many many bad spirits, one including, I believe his name is Ape, which is a snake. But as long as you have that spell, which I needed, and the pharaohs, that will take you past through that easier. So that's the first out of many borders, and it's also there's many different stories around this. And then once you get through that, eventually the point is to meet Anubis. You also go through an amount of jurors who ask you personal questions. Some of the three most popular ones are, this is up to my head, up the top of my head, is, have you polluted the water? Do you mind your own business? And what was the third one? You mind your own business, and that was another one. Anyways, we've all done bad things, and at that point, he looks at your heart. This is what Anubis will ask you. I mean, this is what the jurors will ask you, and Anubis, and they look at your heart. This is also why, when they mummify you, they grab your heart and they put a Egyptian scarab on top of it, and behind it they put another spell saying that you will not. Your heart will not betray you in the moment of truth. So when Anubis asks you that, of course, I've polluted the water. If you have that Egyptian scarab mummified with, like they did, then Anubis look at your heart and won't be able to tell that you're lying, and they let you through. So it's kind of tricks to getting through the underworld. And the installation was it's a big room. So we created a portal with the Egyptian glyphs given 20 to cross over that were projected, and then there was a virtual reality mask in the middle. Once you put that mask on, you actually went through that transition. It wasn't so lyrical. It was more abstract and things thrown in here and there, you know, artsy kind of thing. And get you to Anubis. So that was the installation. We're doing another one of what comes up in the afterlife.
And you say we, so there's a team you're working with?
No, this project was me and Erin Coe, another artist, because she helped me out a lot with the virtual reality installation. So this was a two-man project. But I had a whole series before the virtual reality installation. I had a whole series based on that, on the Book of the Dead, that's when Erin saw it and said we should work on something with the virtual reality, which was perfect because we could create something out of nothing. It really worked well together. So ideally, you do all that to cross into the afterlife. The afterlife, for them, you'd end up, they give you a pot of land, and you just got to grow corn and take care of it. That's why they bury you with the shanties to help you out. And you live forever, you hang out with your family, and you're happily ever after. So
go on. Yeah, it's a great story.
No, then I've been, this is why this led to the next project. I'm really, right now, I do a lot of abstract paintings. That's what sells the most. That's what, you know, most people know me about. But these are more personal. What my work is about is right now, it's that transition, sort of, into the new world. Kind of like I'm preparing to die in a way.
So with this particular project, and the glyphs that you're talking about, How does that relate to your cultural heritage? You said, you know, you didn't have a language, or they don't have a language. You know, that's kind of fascinating and sad also. How does it reflect that?
Well, it first of all, since we didn't have a language, the Mayans do, and they have one of the best complicated ones. So this is where it just drew me to study it and work on it. The Egyptian part of the glyph, really, I got through it almost through the Egyptian, believe it or not. I really, really got into the Book of the Dead. And I started playing with their spells and doing enough research on that. And then my work is based out of triangulation. That's really the heart of my work. I use the concept of triangulation throughout my work, whether it's in paintings, virtual reality, sculptures, and this kind of series where I'm trying to triangulate more information and getting past time, trying to triangulate directly through the Mayans. And obviously working with these two separate cultures who are both working with the pyramid, obviously, and the triangle. I kind of got led into both of them. But through working with triangulation and the triangle as a centerpiece of my art, it just led me more physically through it. And then I guess once I really just fall in love with the Mayan thing, really. Same with the Egyptian. It's amazing. So it kind of almost went towards it on its own, really. And I think that's when some of the best artwork comes out, when you kind of let go and let it take you somewhere. In a way, for me at least.
But the art is also, I agree, I think that is true. And but your art is also telling a story, right? People are learning about cultures, you know, your own as well as other stories when they're looking at some of this work. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And there's where triangulation comes again, because really we're in the same land, not far away, but it's just time. Time is the only thing that's between us and, say, the Mayans. So in a way, that's why the triangles are so important to me, as in just points in history, points in, you know, if you're going to use virtual reality, you have to do triangulated meshes. That's the only way to build anything in a virtual reality world. So triangles are the atoms of virtual reality. Same with 3D printing to build something. Same with construction. It helps a lot. It makes things stronger, the strongest geometric form. But I love to, in my new work, to tell a story and to bring a culture almost back in a more contemporary way that wasn't here too long ago. It wasn't even that long ago, really, when you look at time and you deal with time. So
tell me a little bit about the culture that, you know, in the time we have left, to that you are, in a sense, bringing back, because it sounds like it all does come back home in a way. You're exploring all these other cultures and myths, but it's also illuminating a sense of home somehow for you, isn't it?
In a way, yeah. And I think in a way I don't know. I never really thought about that, about a home in a way, but it just makes me happy.
Well, by home, I mean a culture, the culture that, well, the language that's lost, the stories that you don't know that might have been part of your culture in the not too distant past, right? Because we're talking
three, four,
500 years ago, not even, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it does have a sense of home in a way, which is, it's hard to explain, but it gives me a warm feeling.
So,
which is great.
Which is what? Yeah, I'm sorry, go on.
No, which is what I'm looking for, you know, kind of. More than just art, a feeling too, that art creates and helps you.
And do you want to say something more, just because I feel like so little perhaps has been said about this culture without a language. Is there anything else you want to say about that? That culture, the existence of it, its profile, so listeners have a sense of.
Yeah, which is the one from Tolima, Colombia. Yeah, where I'm from. We're a Pijao tribe, and they're still there, but they're real. We know it's Amazon tribe, obviously, mostly. Tolima is more in the mountains. I wasn't raised like in a reservation or anything. It's just That's where we're from. Obviously, eventually I did a DNA test, and it almost 46% Native American. So I started really getting into where I came from, found out about my tribe. But they did leave a lot of pottery and a lot of storytelling through art only, which is the Pihau tribe. But this, the actual language they spoke is completely gone, and there's no way to get it back. So one of the things, I guess, that I'm doing now also is training a lot and doing a lot with the Mayans. Eventually, one of the steps that I'll do next will be to deal with my culture, the specific Pihau tribe. I just don't think I'm ready for it yet, and it would be a lot more research because there's not really a lot written about it. So that's probably towards where I'm going, which is back home to my culture. But I think I got to train a lot and learn with these bigger cultures first before I can really go down deep and work with something that's more important to me than anything, which is my own culture, my own people. And, you know, with all the things that are going around with the planet and nobody's taking care of stuff, I think it's even more important now to go back to almost the old days. It's more important now to go back to the old days. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, evolution and all that is great, but if you really think about it, these guys might have been smarter than anybody because we're just killing ourselves faster than anything, and by that of the planet, and you know about all that. It's just,
sure, and that struck me when you said at the beginning those rules of, you know, don't pollute the water, or don't do this.
Oh,
you know,
man,
pollute the water. That sounds great. You know, that sounds way ahead of its time.
I know, right? Basic stuff, you know. And these are, then you get into the people who are, you know, people who are doing this. They're smart people who run this world, so they're aware of the consequences. They've just got to be grittier and because of the money. But eventually, they're not going to leave anything to anybody. And it doesn't, you know, and it could happen even within 100 years, which is nothing.
Right.
But so I think also, and also there's a lot, you know, it's good. It's good. A lot is happening in South America. A lot of riots are starting with indigenous people and the countries. There's one in Colombia. Obviously, Chile is a mess, but that's more political. But a lot of, there's a lot of a little revolution in South America where we have to take care of, and especially the Amazon. If that gets in trouble, man, we are in serious trouble.
Right.
Because that's it's a lot of air that they produce.
Right. Well, Jamie, I want to ask you one more question. What are you reading at the moment? What's on your bookshelf?
Yeah, absolutely. At this moment, I am reading Open Veins of Latin America by Eduardo Galeano. It's a book that was suggested to me by, you might know him, Federico Solmi, the artist, video artist. He also teaches at Yale, and he's doing really well. Like, the guy's hot. We talk a lot, and he does a lot of, believe it or not, he's Italian, he does a lot of those videos, and there are a lot of Native Americans with the Americans, so I'm always rooting for the Native Americans, and I love his work. But it's a strong book, and anybody who is interested in hearing the real story of what happened in South America, in Central America, and how they just destroyed and drained it for all its, you know, silver, gold, people, and it's a heartbreaking book, but very educational and really one of the best ones I've read. It's a big book, but I'm almost done with it.
Jamie, I want to thank you for talking with me today. I really enjoyed this and appreciate your time.
Hey, man, anytime. I appreciate you taking the time.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.